Welcome to the DILF podcast. As in dad, I'd like to friend. I'm your host, Kevin Selden. And as you probably know, if you've listened to this podcast before, I am all about the importance of a strong support network for dads. One that I did not have personally when I first entered the world of dad life. So I'm excited to officially announce that we are in the process of building the first ever comprehensive app for dads. As parents, I'm sure you've noticed the abundance of resources out there for moms, but as dads, we're still lacking in support in so many ways. So we hope that this can begin to really flip the script. If you would like to learn more, I invite you to become one of our official beta testers by visiting dadlifeapp.com. In today's episode, I'm excited to welcome the editor-in-chief of one of the top social channels for fathers, The Dad. With almost 2 million followers, it's basically the internet hub for dad memes. Together, we discuss everything from the surprising depth of dad memes to strategies for flipping the script on the home front during these chaotic times. Joel, welcome to the DILF podcast and the second in our Dads of Instagram series. How's it going?
It is going. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
We just had a pre-interview and I just was talking about how Joel seems to have this kind of permanent smile as we were talking about all these kind of serious and non-serious topics. And I feel like it fits perfectly with the brand that you've created. Tell us a little about The Dad.
Oh, sure. So yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. When I was a kid, people used to tell me that I was smiling all the time. And as I grew into like a disgruntled adult, I felt like I maybe lost that. So when you said that, I'm immediately like, yes, I still got it. Still there. That's good. No, yeah, The Dad. The Dad is a media brand for dads and for dadvocates and other people who appreciate dads and fathers. So yeah, we're primarily an entertainment brand. We have a large social media presence. The Dad is all about celebrating modern fatherhood, which I know you appreciate as well.
Most definitely. You know, I confess this to you on our pre-call, but truth be told, I've always kind of dismissed dad memes and dad jokes. And I guess it was that part of me that just took parenthood so seriously and took the responsibilities of fatherhood so seriously that I feel like I've spent much of my life trying to get all the men around me to be more vulnerable and to drop their guard. And for some stupid reason, I saw dad memes as kind of the enemy of that, like a way to stay surface. And in doing a deep dive in prep for this interview, I was shocked at how ignorant I was in that. I think I put this twinge of negativity on dad memes and just assumed they were always about my wife is a pain in the tush or, you know, my kids are so annoying. And your dad memes are not really negative. They just create this beautiful sense of camaraderie that I felt very much what I talk about on this podcast all the time is about the building of a support network. And it made me feel not so alone. And I think that's a beautiful thing that I embarrassingly was oblivious to.
Fantastic. I'm happy that we've converted you and we welcome you wholeheartedly into the meme community. Welcome. No, you said it well, and that means that we're doing our job. I talk about this all of the time, but our primary goal on The Dad, our mission is to entertain, because parents are just so tired. It's so very difficult that we just kind of want to take a break every once in a while and have a laugh and relate to comedy and entertainment and stuff that gets us. But our secondary goal is to build a sense of community. And it's exactly what you're talking about, that camaraderie, like feeling like you're a part of something and finally somebody gets it, like that sort of feeling. And to do that, it's not just comedy. Comedy can do that too, but it's not just comedy. It's also like emotion and sentimentality and, you know, good news stories about dads doing great things. So we do a lot of silly memes, a lot of comedy, and then we punctuate that, you know, with celebrations of great dads or moving, inspiring stories that give you that sense of community. And the fact that we punctuate it with that makes the comedy work better, and the comedy also makes the sentimentality work better.
I love it. Kind of the basis and rules around comedy. As a comedy writer in a former life, they say comedy comes through kind of tragedy. And I feel like there's so many difficult times in fatherhood that if we take a moment to take it less seriously, which I am very bad at, and the podcast is one of the only things that has helped me to get a little lighter and take some of it with a grain of salt. But I feel like it, if we step back, there's so much comedy in all of it. And I think you're doing a brilliant job at kind of showcasing that to a lot of us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And the other thing I would say too, is memes, it's a form of communication. It's a delivery mechanism. It's a medium, you know, it doesn't have to be one thing or the other. They can be silly. They can be straight up comedy. They can be offensive. We don't do that, but they can also be encouraging. Our deputy editor came up with this term, encourage meme. So some of our memes are straight up not comedy. They're more meant to be encouraging, you know, and that's still a meme. That's still short form content, and it just serves a different purpose.
I love that. It's just a pleasure sometimes to see other dads parent and see how similar we all are at our base, no matter what kind of mask we put on for the world.
That's right. You are not alone. You are not alone. We all go through this stuff. Yeah, that's great. And that's a lot of what we do at the Dad too, is we want to show a little bit of an unfiltered side and say, you know, everything isn't always, you know, rainbows. Things are often difficult. And we can talk about that in a very real way, in a relatable way that makes you feel like you're not alone.
And out of curiosity, because this is something that we discuss in our last Dads of Instagram episode, I feel like many times when your work and your kind of craft is centered around family, and there's times when you're in a fight with your wife, and then my wife has to come on and do a co-parenting episode with me, or your kid is just being a dick that day, which happens. You know, my son is a joy, but sometimes he's in a mood. And then I have to go on and talk about how much I love my son. And luckily for the podcast, I'm able to be vulnerably honest and kind of address the truth. But when you're dealing with comedy, that can be a little more difficult. And I'm curious how you deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, we never want to be mean-spirited about anything. But yeah, some days are difficult. that's part of the comedy too, I think, right? Like you can take certain situations and exaggerate them for comedic effect and make them funny. But we never, to your point earlier, we never want to be complaining about, you know, your kids or your spouse or any of that. It's almost like it's better if you take a more silly approach to these things.
And let's get into your relationship with your spouse. My wife is also named Laura.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah. I saw a post that you did, and you wrote, when Laura and I got married, we knew it was going to be on a Friday because Fridays are cheaper, and we were poor. We had a choice of the 13th or the 20th of July, and we immediately picked Friday the 13th because I thought it was cool. Plus, we didn't need luck, and even the worst luck in the world couldn't hold us back. Happy 13th to my favorite human. I feel like so many times I get very irritated when people talk to their spouse on social media, because there's that. And by the way, this conversation is making me realize there's more negativity in me than I ever realized, because I disliked dad memes, and I dislike when people talk to their spouse, because I'm like, just go talk to your spouse. Don't write a message to them. But this message really touched me, because I love the concept of even the worst luck in the world couldn't hold us back. And I feel like with so much negativity in the world right now, I thought that was a really beautiful sentiment of partnership. And I was wondering if you could just discuss your co-parenting relationship a little.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And first of all, I don't blame you for the hating on the spouse talk messages and stuff that seem kind of saccharine or insincere. I'm with you on that. And I think if you dig farther down in my feed, a lot of the stuff that I say or post on there, to my wife or even about my kids is very authentic and maybe the opposite of corny. And usually it's meant to be entertaining and funny and stuff, but it's like documenting like real life, like what's happening.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you read that, I'm like, oh man, that was very, very sentimental, but it's not always like that on my Instagram. But no, I believe all of that. My wife she's the best. She's fantastic. And we are like such a great team. When it comes to parenting and even marriage, we share the responsibilities that go with parenting. And like I told you before, like I don't really see any other way. It's just the way it is. I think that we should normalize the breaking down of gender stereotypes and gender roles. It's not a huge deal that I do most of the cooking. It's just like I'm here during the day and it's more convenient and practical. And, you know, that's just what we do because it works best for our family. So we don't shouldn't make a big deal out of that. It's just the way that it goes.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's like that across the board for all the different responsibilities that we have in our house. And we step up whenever is needed and do what needs to be done.
I think that is such a true sentiment. And the funny thing is every parent that I speak to feels the same way, that the concept of gender roles have just gone out the window, but yet societally and culturally, it's taking so much time for everyone to catch up. It's individually, we all know that they're just kind of BS, but I'm so intrigued at how media still portrays these crazy gender roles and how older generations just don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel you there. I'm happy to be part of the portrayal of normalizing the destruction of these gender roles as part of the dad and our content and stuff, you know? So anytime we can do that and, you know, not make a big deal out of it, but just like kind of address it like, hey, dads do these things too. Like, that's great. So happy to do that. The other thing I'd be remiss in saying is, props and shout out to single parents. And, you know, I mean, I talk about the teamwork that goes with my wife and I and our parenting team. Man, I just major props to single parents and how difficult that is and things, you know.
I could not agree more. I've been actually looking to get a single dad on the show. I feel like there, you said in our pre-interview that sometimes your relationship with your wife with regards to responsibilities is 70-30. And sometimes it's 30-70. And I think that it couldn't be more true for me and for, I think, most healthy co-parenting relationships. There's ebbs and flows. I can't imagine what it's like to never get that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of workload, in terms of just bandwidth and stepping up to do tasks, but also in terms of, you know, like even mental health. As I described to you, I texted my wife earlier, like, I'm having a tough day, like, not feeling too good, like, all that stuff. And she immediately responds, like, oh, no, what can I do to help you? You know?
I think that's beautiful.
And I would do the same for her. And it's just that taking turns being in a bad mood. that concept of, hey, I'm having a tough day today. And it's like, all right, well, I'll help you out. You know, like that. That's what a good relationship's all about.
It's funny. My wife and I just realized how insanely codependent we actually are. It's probably my fault. My parents are extremely codependent. They've been together since they were like 14. But I feel like whenever I'm in a bad mood, my wife immediately goes there. It brings out, you know, and I'm like, no, you're supposed to lift me up. I feel like I don't want the camaraderie in my bad mood.
Yeah, but, well, and to your wife's defense and anybody else's, I think that's the default reaction, right? Like that's the default state. Like, oh, somebody's in a bad mood. Like, this is about me and I'm upset, you know, and it can bring you down for sure. It's just like being conscious of that and trying to purposely get yourself out of that default state, you know, it's tough.
I feel like this is a topic that has been discussed to death because of quarantine, but I feel like you might have a unique perspective on it. I want to talk about balance. And you're running a very successful brand with the dad, and you also simultaneously are a father who's – are you always working from home remotely? Because is the dad based in New York, right?
Great question. We can jump into that real quick, though. Yeah, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. The dad is part of Some Spider Studios, and it's headquartered in New York City. I also want to say shout out to the dad team. The dad team is located all over the place. So there's a lot of people involved with making all this great content happen. And they're the best in the biz. But yeah, I'm here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I get to work remote. Before this pandemic, I was traveling to New York City quite often, but for the most part, I'm here in my home office.
And how is balancing everything from work, you know, while you're working right now, and your home, which I think you're probably a little more used to than many, but simultaneously finding time for any kind of romantic relationship with your wife? We've talked about that a lot on the podcast, kind of rediscovering that side of partnership during quarantine is a tricky thing. And even alone time and self-care, it's so much to balance right now. How are you doing with it?
Struggling. That's pretty true. It's all dad stuff all the time. My work and my non-work life are one and the same a lot of times. But yeah, definitely being conscious of that and doing what I can to make sure to stay healthy and get exercise, but also, you know, spend time with the family and one-on-one time with the wife and all that. So, I don't know. Like, for example, Monday, it was a real tough day. And I just told Laura, like, oh my God, I'm about to snap. I got to get out of here. Right. I know so many people relate to that during these times. So we got in the car and we took a little, mini road trip to, show my kids the house, that I grew up in, you know, and took them for a trip through my neighborhood where I lived when I was little, and showed them that. And we blasted the Hamilton soundtrack the whole car ride, and they had a great time. It's like, that's making the most of it, right? Like, we probably wouldn't have done that otherwise. So it was kind of nice. So we try to do things like that.
There's a lot of beautiful, spontaneous moments that have come up for a lot of people during this kind of lockdown, and realizing that the freedoms that we have, like road trips, you know?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I just realized that my wife has never been camping in a tent. She's never gone camping in a tent. So next week I'm going to take a couple of days off, and we're going to go, set up a tent in the woods and see if we can make it through the night without her bailing on it. We'll see how it goes.
It just goes to show how our different upbringings can come together to create kind of a beautiful environment for our kids.
Yeah. And then they'll get the blend of that, and you'll create your own traditions and your own things that they'll look back on. That's right. That's the thing about the pandemic is this is such a flashpoint, in history, but also just, emotionally and everything. So this moment is one that kids that are my kids' age will remember when they're older. You know, they'll look back on this time and they'll distinctly remember these things. And I'm just like so conscious of that, because I wanted to try my best to make it a positive thing for them. You know, so when they look back on this time, it's not ultra scary, which it can be, or anxiety prone, but more, I got to spend a ton of time with my dad and my mom, and it was a great time. And I want them to remember that.
I love that. You know, you told me something in the pre-interview that just backs up the great relationship you have with your wife. After you had your kids, you were in a more corporate job, and you decided that you wanted to do something more creative. And you and your wife kind of came up with a plan to take a leap. And I'm curious to talk about that for people out there who feel a little trapped professionally, but also feel like they have kids and responsibilities on their back. How did you maneuver that?
Yeah, so I worked for over 10 years in information technology and data science. I was actually managing data science programs for jet engine engineering. So maybe the most opposite of creating internet comedy as you can get. And towards the end, I wasn't happy, and I wanted to sort of make an escape, make a 180-degree career change. So I sat down with Laura and said, I can't do this anymore. I gotta do something. We had kids at the time, so I couldn't exactly just quit and go try something else out. So we together worked through and made basically a 5-year plan of what I needed to do to make something happen and to make this change. Started on it immediately, and I think it was probably about 3 years later, we launched The Dad.
That is such a cool story and such a cool success story to hear.
Yeah, I think about it, and I still can't believe that it worked out this way. It's just so surreal, and I just feel so grateful every day that I was just in the right spot at the right time, and we were able to make this happen.
Now, with running a dad brand and being a full-time dad, like most of us are. And I think of full-time dad, meaning I don't care if you work full-time or if you're a stay-at-home dad, you're an actively involved dad. So you're a full-time dad.
It's always on your mind. Always.
Exactly. And I'm curious to know if there are any routines or self-care rituals that you have for yourself. You know, for instance, I turn off my phone every weekend and people are shocked and a lot of my friends are irritated. I actually put in a landline in case people need to reach us because I just felt like I needed to be off the clock and to not have text and email and messenger and all those different things popping up and all the apps. And it's been a saving grace for me. And that is a big part of my self-care reboot routine on the weekends. And I'm curious to know if there's anything you do to kind of turn off the dad side and have just a Joel moment.
Amazing. I need to do more of that. I like that weekend routine. I don't do that. I need to though. We post content literally every hour, 24/7 pretty much. So it's, I don't get to turn off too much, but that takes its toll for sure. I run. It's like the only thing that I can do to kind of clear my mind. I'm not a great runner, but I run 2 or 3 miles at a time, and I never want to do it, and I always hate it during, but then after, I always feel so much better.
That's how I feel with every workout.
That's right. That's relatable content. So I do that, and then lately, sort of my escape and my thing I can do to hang out with friends is gaming. I do a lot of gaming these days, but even that too is also part of what we do at The Dad.
And so that's a new gaming network that you've created for dads.
Yeah, it's been around for about a year actually, which is hard to believe. But we have a Facebook group with about 25,000 people in it called The Dad Gaming. And we host and run events and tournaments every week and up to 9 games, different video games. And people from all over the world, you know, get together and can play video games together. It's a little bit like the 90s when you might get together with your buddies and play Goldeneye or whatever. It's like that, except with people all around the world.
Kind of a little brain break.
Yeah. It's very much like that. It's like a brain break. I mean, when I talk about our goal being to build a sense of community for the dad, you can imagine what that would look like if people were interacting with each other in person. we might have like an intramural kickball league or something, and we'd get people together and hang out, and they'd be like, "Oh, this is great." So, you know, it's like they're part of a club. But running a private Fortnite lobby full of dad gamers is pretty close. It's great.
I feel like during non-quarantine, I found that even when I went to classes with my kid, they were filled with moms who were not always the most welcoming. And we've discussed in the past on the podcast that fathers often feel unwanted and treated suspiciously in public parenting spaces. And I feel like it's just something where the cultural and societally, the world is not caught up a little with the fact that we're actively involved dads just as much as anyone else. And there's so much support that's starting to come about for dads online, and especially during quarantine, more and more opportunities are popping up. But it seems like there's still not a lot of in-person spaces like there are for moms.
Yeah, that may be true. I know that there are city dad groups in various cities that I've seen. I'm part of a Cincinnati one. I don't know that I've ever actually been able to get together with them in person because of everything going on. That's an example. But I also think, too, as much as we can not just say all there's dad groups and there's mom groups, but as much as we can get to the point where it's like, oh, we're all parents, too, and we can, you know, interact with each other, you know, as parents within a neighborhood or within a community, rather than, you know, limiting it to just moms or just dads or whatever. That's good, too.
I love that. I feel like if dads can lead the way to making it about parents and not about one sex or another.
That's right.
My first dad friend I ever made was a dad who joined a mom group. And it was during my extended paternity leave. And he said, any advice? And my wife said, yes, meet my husband. And it was like a blind date. And I was actually very nervous. And it turns out he's a good friend of mine now. And he was very nervous going into it. And I remember meeting for lunch with our kids and just kind of the first date kind of awkwardness of, I don't really know you, but let's talk and become friends.
Yeah, come here often kind of vibe.
Exactly.
he's like, man, this is a dad I'd like to friend.
Well done. Well done. So I would love to discuss the concept of paternity leave. And I know that you took a small paternity leave with each of your kids, but I'm just curious to know, with the dads that you've engaged with, or even the dad policy on paternity leave, how you feel paternity leave impacts our role as dads.
Yeah, I love the movement towards, you know, granting additional paternity leave or paternity leave at all. That's happening these days. I wish more progress was being made. It's very important. GE, that's where I worked for 10 years in IT. It was very good about paternity leave. I think for my firstborn, I had 4 weeks of paternity leave, which is not bad compared to many. And then for my son, I think I had around 6 weeks. It was very important. It was very important for me, of course, just being able to, you know, have that, the bonding and all of that, but just important on a family level, important for my wife as well. I mean, you just can't imagine how much work and, you know, just emotional stress goes into having a newborn in the house, especially for the first time. So just being able to be there is really critical for everyone.
I could not agree more. And I think it's such an important bonding time for dads to kind of step up and get involved and feel like they're a part of the solution and not just a secondary helper, you know, taking orders. And I feel like that's where moms and dads can work together to create that brilliant relationship.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I think the way that we strategized, I think I took straight up two weeks full time off, and then I think I spaced out the other 2 weeks, you know, so that it would last a little longer, but, you know, have a little bit extra coverage in there, you know.
Talking to you now for a little bit, we've noticed many similarities between our situations as parents and as men. And I'm just curious to discuss the concept of masculinity and vulnerability. I feel many of us as men have a kinship and a vulnerability that we don't always show to the outside world. And I feel like through comedy, a lot of comedy has to come from being vulnerable. You're not going to get the laugh. You have to kind of dig in deep. And I feel like what you're doing through the dad is actually a brilliant yet very subtle way of bringing about vulnerability in various men by getting people in touch with their feelings and realizing that they're not alone. And I'm wondering if you could kind of discuss your thoughts on men being vulnerable in front of their kids and letting their guards down and masculinity in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen or heard of the documentary Speed Cubers?
No, but I will look it up. What is it?
So what the documentary is about is it about the competitive world of solving Rubik's cubes very quickly. Right, and that's exactly what I thought. Like, oh, this is going to be a funny documentary, and it's just such an emotional ride of these two kids. One grew up and was like the champion of speed cubing, and then another younger one who idolized him and grew up to want to be just like him. And then they compete, and it's very emotional. And not going to lie, I had tears in my eyes watching this documentary, you know, with my family. And that's normal, right? Like, everybody should feel normal about tearing up during emotional movies, right?
Definitely.
So for what we do at The Dad, just like breaking down gender stereotypes, is the normalization of feeling regular human emotion, regardless of, you know, gender. Right. So Wednesdays are my meme day. So today's Wednesday. So I made memes this morning, and I made a meme about that movie, about speed cubing, and, like, you know, watching it like, oh, no, a documentary about Rubik's cubes is going to be hilarious. And then, like, 40 minutes later, like, tearing up. For anybody who's seen it, they'll know what I mean. But it's that type of normalization where it's like, of course, dads and men feel this emotion, like, obviously, you know, it's normal. So that's kind of what we try to do.
It's so interesting because we all are feeling it. We all have our vulnerable side, but yet there's something in society that doesn't allow us the room to show it. And it's almost like it's not a natural thing. You have to make the choice to do it as a man. And it's so important, and especially so important if you're raising boys. But I feel like it's so nice the more we have people in public positions kind of standing up and showcasing their vulnerable side.
Yeah, exactly. And as much as we can do that, it's good. And it's just the range of emotion is just fantastic. I mean, we post a lot of content on The Dad that's moving or inspirational. And it's just, you see it in the comments. Oh, somebody's cutting onions again, you know, whatever. You know, and it's kind of just like the default reaction to that. But, you know, people are really moved and, you know, happy crying or, you know, sad crying, but putting things in perspective. And that's important. And we're not posting saying, hey, it's okay for men to cry, like anything like direct like that. But, you know, that's what it is. That's actually, you know, what we're saying when these things happen.
And it's actually much better by not addressing it directly. It's kind of an underhanded way of getting even more vulnerable in a beautiful sense.
Yeah. And it's not like meant to be deceptive by any means. It's just like, hey, we like this content and we think that you will like it too. And having emotional reactions to these things is not only normal, it's to be celebrated, and it's just part of what we do. And oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, one thing I think you posted recently was a repost of something from Scary Mommy, and it was that quote about sometimes my wife and I sit on our porch discussing what it'll be like when the kids are finally out of our home, and we realize that it'll probably be us sitting on the porch discussing how much we miss what it's like when they were kids.
Yeah. So Kevin, I got to tell you, I know that you do universal dad truths at the end of each episode. That was going to be my dad truth that I was going to
share. Balls. I stole it. I didn't mean to.
No, it's great. In true dad fashion, I'm going to not only be on time, I'm going to be a little bit early and share my dad truth. It's like being 3 hours early to the airport. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's so great. I love that so much. When I saw that, I shared it within the company Slack. Like, this is just so great. It gets you. It can be a little bit sad, actually, but it helps put things in perspective and remind you to live in the moment and remind you, like, what this is all about. You know, it's not about wishing away the time. It's about, you know, living in it. So that's perfect.
I couldn't agree more. I think that what we need now more than ever is more flipping the script and living in the moment, because so much of it gotten, we've all gotten so used to complaining about how annoying all of this is instead of realizing all of the wonderful things that can come out of it with bonding and appreciating what we have.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. And that's right. And I like to look at social media in that way too. I know on the Dads of Instagram chat, you guys talked about, you know, not taking photos or making sure you like live in the moment. I agree with that. But I also, sometimes I wonder on my personal Instagram, why am I posting this stuff? Like, what is this all for? But then you get hit with the memories, like, you know, 5 years ago on this day kind of thing. And I'm like, oh yes, that's why. It's the memories. It's a scrapbook. It's modern home videos. And it's just like, oh yeah, that's it. It reminds you of what the moment was, and the memories are very important as well.
I love that. I feel like there's been so many times during quarantine when I only created this podcast at the beginning of the year. And although it's gotten some great attention, there are days when I say, I have so much other work that I'm doing. Why am I doing this right now? I should just be with my kid. And I actually find that the time away doing this podcast and talking with people like yourself actually helps to give me an appreciation and refresh me, so that when I go back to my kid, I can flip the script and I can enjoy the moment more.
Yeah, that's right. It's parenting supplements. It's parenting performance enhancing moments that help you enjoy it a little bit more. That's right. That's good.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This was great, and hopefully this could be an ongoing dialogue.
Oh yeah, sure. Keep in touch. Love what you're doing. Anything we can do to celebrate modern involved dads and all of the struggle and the good things that come with that, the better.
To learn more about The Dad, you can visit thedad.com or check out our episode show notes for all the various links. And if you are interested in becoming one of our VIP beta testers for the Dad Life app, we welcome you to visit dadlifeapp.com. Dad, dadlifeapp.com. Until next time.